So let me just remind you where we've been. I'll do this fairly quickly, and then we'll begin to read through the Scriptures. There were 400 years of silence, Old Testament, New Testament. Old Testament, God stops speaking. God says, you know, I've had enough. Had enough. Tired of this stuff. And so he just gets quiet. He just gets quiet. If you're married, you know what that's like. Like if she's talking and she's angry, you're good. If she gets quiet, run. Get out. Run. When she gets quiet, that's when you, I'll be over here if you need me. I'm sorry to have spoken. And you, God gets quiet. It's a type of judgment. And then after 400 years, Israel is now dominated by Rome and under the thumb of Rome. And they don't own their own holy land. They're occupied. And God decides to send a prophet. And he sends a baby to someone who is barren, who cannot give a child because she's past childbearing years and never had a child, and God blesses her with a baby, and that baby is John, and he's going to become a prophet. And again, she's an old woman, and this is a miracle, and God is going to use John to prepare the way for Christ, because God always prepares the way, listen, before he does a work. He always prepares the way. In fact, there are some of us that are looking at our world and at our culture and even at the Church of Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, give us revival. Lord, you know where it starts? It doesn't start with God giving us revival. It starts with God's people repenting. That's how he prepares the way. It starts with God's people humbling themselves and saying, it's not about them over there, that church that's affirming that. It's about my own heart, Lord. Work here. That's where it always starts. So God sends John, and John is going to prepare the way, and the people are going to repent. It's going to be incredible. All these folks are going to come to this guy out in the wilderness wearing locusts, or eating locust and honey, and wearing like camel hair and just crazy stuff. That's where it's going to come from. The angel Gabriel. Hold on. You going to play with my rear end?
Yes.
You usually have to pay him for this. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph. This is where we went last week, just to remind you. So Gabriel goes to Zechariah, says, Elizabeth's going to have a baby now. He goes to Mary. Was sent by God to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph, because God never shows up, and we said this last week, and begins to do a work among a people who don't already have plans and expectations of what their lives should be. Mary knows what she wants her life to be, and then the angel shows up. Says, I know you're betrothed. I know you're not married yet, but you're betrothed. And I know you're a virgin, but you're going to have a baby. In fact, let's go. Let me show you. Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you, and she is greatly concerned at this greeting. You will conceive. You're going to give birth to a son. You're going to name him Jesus. Because God names the baby for you when he gives you the baby. He just does that. You find that in Scripture. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. This is the Messiah, the consolation of Israel, the one that everyone had looked forward to, all of Israel, for hundreds and hundreds of years. He will reign over the house of Jacob, or Israel, forever. And his kingdom will have no end. He goes on, he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Because she says, how can this be? I haven't been with a man. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. This is the cloud of God, the Shekinah glory will come upon you, and you will be pregnant. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month of her, or for her, who was called childless. So the angel gets a little gossipy and says, by the way, you know that Elizabeth you see every now and then, y'all go to the temple together at the special times. And Yeah, she's old. No, she's past childbearing age. She's in 6 months into this thing, and she's got a baby. Her wrinkles are beginning to swell, so they ain't wrinkles anymore because she got a big old belly, and she's carrying this baby 6 months along. And listen, this is important. I'll take it and just bookmark this. 6 months for Elizabeth. You want to know this. We're going to come back to it. It helps you understand some of the Christmas story. So just bookmark that in your mind. For nothing will be impossible with God. And then the angel waits, and Mary decides, because he's waiting for her answer. She could argue. She could. God allows us to argue. You know that, right? You ever argue with God? Yeah. Instead of arguing, she says, look, I'm the Lord's servant. This is who I am. This is my identity, and therefore my answer is, may it be to me as you have said. And the angel leaves her, and I picture her shoulders just kind of falling like this weight on her. She had her plans. She had her man. She had the village she's going to grow up in. Now she's going to be pregnant, but she hasn't been with Joseph. And she's going to have to go to him and say, hey, I'm pregnant, but it's okay, it's God's. That's not going to go well. And she knows it. And she knows Joseph will put her away. He will divorce her. They're betrothed. And so the way they break this thing is divorce, even though they haven't been together. Let me continue in Luke a little further. Straight off of that verse, that's where we ended last week. In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Elizabeth is in her sixth month. Mary has just found out she's going to be pregnant, and yet she is not yet with Joseph. She's betrothed but not married. And so in her mind, she's got to go find this thing out. She's got to go, like, I've just talked to an angel. Am I going crazy? Do they need to, like, put me in a place somewhere and evaluate me for a while? Do we need a restraining order? So she's going to go see Elizabeth. And so this 14, 15-year-old girl goes up into the hill country to see Elizabeth. She, in my head, it looks this way. She, after all this travel, walks into the house, and Elizabeth is there, this old woman, big pregnant belly, baking bread, right? She's just doing her stuff. And she walks in the house and says, Elizabeth. And here's this 14, 15-year-old girl. And remember, Mary isn't showing. She's maybe a week pregnant, so she is not showing. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside of her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So the moment that Mary says, Elizabeth, all of a sudden there's this joy, and she's filled with the Holy Spirit, and the baby inside of Elizabeth, 6 months. Can you feel a kick at 6 months? Yeah. I remember this because I was so depressed. We were at church, Ghent Church, and there was a concert. This is the first time Trent kicked inside Dolores' tummy. I remember this. They were playing country music, and Trent kicked. And I thought, oh, crap, he's going to like country. And I remember fasting and praying, and Lord, give him a taste for metal. Please, Lord, let him like Van Halen. Please, Father, let him receive Sammy Hagar into his... Anyway, it was... I didn't even drive 55 all the way back home. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped. The Holy Spirit jumped, and she's filled with joy. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women. Your child will be blessed. Wait, your child will be... She's not showing. She don't even look like she's been to a buffet. She got nothing. She's been walking, man. She's in shape. She's fit. She ain't me and you. She's fit. 14, 15 years old in that day, in that age. How could this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Wouldn't that blow you away, 14, 15 years old, the mother of my Lord? Goodness gracious. So the two things, Mary isn't showing, so how does she know? And mother of my Lord. By the way, God loves to confirm his promises. Let me say that to you again. When God places something in your heart, he has no problem reconfirming, because we're kind of faithless and we need the reminder. God has no problem confirming what he's already spoken to you more than once over and over again. Never has a problem with that. When the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside me. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her. She's blessed for believing and trusting God. Listen, you never step out in faith. You never step out in faith after speaking with God, trusting God, getting a sense of where God wants you to go. You never step out in faith without God, number one, being right there with you. Number two, blessing your actions that are taken in faith. Ever. There's this confirmation from Elizabeth. You're blessed. You're the mother of the Lord. And so Mary stays 3 months. So we got a calendar here. Mary stays 3 months. Why does she stay 3 months and then leave? What happens in 3 months? John the Baptist is born. So she makes sure John is okay, Elizabeth's okay. She stays until that time. She's helping and she's watching and she's like, oh my goodness. Now, what happens to Mary after 3 months? She's starting to show, right? She's got a little baby bump. She may have been to one too many buffets, and it's all right here in the belly. She's starting to show, and she's heading back to her hometown. They didn't got Facebook. They ain't got cell phones. They haven't been talking back and forth. The village doesn't know. And she's going to come back into this small little podunk village. You think they're going to notice? Think you're going to get a sign that something's going on. and they know that Mary is betrothed to Joseph, who is finishing up his apprenticeship as a carpenter so he can take care of his wife and then get married. They know. And she's going to go home. And so we'll move to Matthew 1 because we're putting this thing together from two different Gospels. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph or betrothed, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. How was it discovered? She walks into the village. And they know. And they're thinking what you and I would think, right? Only much more judgment in that day and that age. She's been unfaithful. She went somewhere and she got herself pregnant. And she has the gall to come back here to this place. Now she is betrothed. And so the word that will be used will be husband, but it means they are in that state of betrothal. They're not together yet. And so the question is, will he leave her? That is her worst fear. How will he react when he sees and when she tries to speak real quickly? Hey, just so you know, it's okay. It's God and an angel showed up. And how's he gonna take that? She doesn't know. In fact, the whole way there, I'm sure she's been rehearsing and thinking it through and what she's going to say. And I don't know if you know this or not, but women are always thinking. They're not men. Hey, what are you thinking, husband? Nothing. Yeah, you are. No, I'm really not. I wasn't thinking of anything at all. No, you're thinking. No, women are always. Literally, the other day, Dolores walked in, and she had about five different things, just rapid fire. And I looked at her and said, does that ever stop? Like, is your brain ever? No, always. So you know the whole way back, she has been thinking about how it's going to go, playing it through in her mind. What's he going to say? What could I say to make him understand? How do I get through this the whole way? And you know she is filled with anxiety. That day, that age, you don't celebrate these things. She's going to be known as a town, I can't say the word, call girl. She is. So her husband, betrothed, Joseph, being a righteous man, a good guy, and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, her worst fear comes true. Decided to divorce her secretly. Her worst fear comes true. Exactly what she knew would happen happens. Hey, it's okay. I just want you to, I know you see this. I wasn't unfaithful. I promise. If an angel showed up and he said that I'm going to have Jesus and he's going to save his people from their sins and he's going to be the Holy One of God and I didn't do anything and I'm still a virgin and I promise it. We'll do it quietly. I'm not going to put you to open shame, but we're in a village. Everybody's going to know. You just see tears streaming down her face because God has just ruined her life in this moment. Listen, God never promised her it would be okay. He never said it's going to be smooth sailing. He never even said that he would fix it. He just said, in effect, trust me, because that's what faith is. Faith is, take the step, and you don't know how it's going to go, and when you get there, I'll be there, and then take the next step, and you can't see that one either, but when you get there, I'll be there. That's what the faith walk is. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're in this building because we walk by faith and not by sight. You're here in this place, if you found us in this place, because we walk by faith and not by sight. We took on Pastor Corey because we walk by faith and not by sight. We have what we have because we walk by faith and not by sight. And God never says it's going to be smooth sailing. It isn't. God never says it's going to be easy. It's not. He says, I will be there. After he considered these things, this is Joseph, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And the angel said to Joseph, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy... She didn't lie to you, bro. She was truthful. This is the Holy Spirit. This is my work, God says. Vindication comes from who? Oh, this is easy. You're in church. The Lord. It's always the Lord. Whatever the question is, it's always the Lord. What's furry and gathers nuts for the winter? The Lord. It's always the Lord. You're in church. Vindication comes from the Lord, from God. And you and I, we could spend time worrying about our reputation and what people think about us and what they're saying about us and defending ourselves. And it's wasted time. You do right, you trust God. And when you do wrong, you admit, you repent and trust God. And he's just said he'll take care of it. Let the town think what they want, and they're going to. God will deal with the people closest to you if he chooses to. She will give birth to a son, the angel says. You're to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's the name of Jesus. God saves her. Jehovah is salvation. That's what that name means. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. The virgin will become pregnant, give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. 700 years prior, that's when the prophecy was. And it's going to fulfill that. And it is God with us. God comes to us. Christmas is about God coming to us because we can't get to him. You can't be good enough. You can't meditate enough. You can't do enough stuff. So God comes to you in the form of Jesus, God the Son. When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel commanded him. He goes to Mary, he says, I was so wrong, please forgive me. An angel spoke to me, and she says, oh, you had an angel too, now you believe. Yeah, she never let him forget that. He married her, but he did not have, kids are with us, relations with her until she gave birth to a son. And he named him Jesus. Here's what it's saying. After Jesus is born, they are married and together, and there are others, brothers and sisters. She's not the Virgin Mary today. She's Mary, favorite of God. And here's how the birth plays out. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. These are men that have to go, men, head of households, men that go. The women do not have to go. The children do not have to go. These are the men that go to be registered because this cat wants to know how many people he's got and how much money he can get from the taxes, because back then, government liked a lot of taxes. Back then. So Joseph has to go. Now, he's going to take Mary with him. Why? She's in a town where the townspeople know that they still aren't married yet. They're betrothed. And she's getting more pregnant by the day. And those townspeople aren't going to be nice. They're not going to believe. Joseph didn't believe, and he loved her. They're not going to believe. And so he's going to protect her because that's what a man does. He protects the women in his life. That's what a man is supposed to be. So he's going to take her with him. I'm not leaving you to those people. You come with me. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David. There's a whole thing there about Messiah had to be from the house of David, Bethlehem, house of bread, Jesus, bread of life. There's a whole thing there. Don't have time to get into it. To be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant, betrothed but not married yet. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. We don't know how long that took, but while they were there, it's time. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him tightly in cloth. There's a whole thing about firstborn and double portion of inheritance. Again, don't have time. Laid him in a manger. What's a manger? Feed trough for animals, right? Yeah, how many of you wouldn't think that'd be great, man? Yeah, talk about unsanitary. Well, you know, I want him to understand germs, so he'll be built up an immune. Jesus got an immune system at this point. Feed trough for animals. Yes. And the cloth is swaddling clothes. It's the same cloth you'd use for the grave. There's a little foreshadowing there. Because there's no guest room available for them, and that is exactly the way it ought to say. Not in, guest room. You didn't have hotels. There's no like Motel 6 will leave the light on for you. Everybody is traveling, and they're staying because you let people stay in your house. That's hospitality. Then that house, they would have had an extra room that when it's really just bitter cold or you need to, you bring the animals in. There's an extra room. That's where they're staying within this house. That's where they're staying. It smells of the animals, just that fetid, just that sour smell. And the baby's in the manger. Feed trough for animals. And it fulfills a prophecy of Micah 5:2, 700 years prior. Bethlehem Ephrathah, you're small among the clans of Judah. One will come from you who will be a ruler over Israel for me. His origin is from antiquity, from eternity. He will be born in Bethlehem. Because he prophesied had said he would. And it just so happened right at that time, Caesar decided to call everybody to their ancestral hometowns. Just right at that, what a coincidence. And right at that time, she seems to be pregnant with a baby. And right at that time, she is ready to have the baby. It all just seems to happen that way. 700 years prior, God nails it. But why a manger? Why is God's son born to a poor woman no one knows from a hick town? Why not an elite woman? Why not like Herod's wife or one of these? Why not a mansion? Like if I'm going to come to a place and I get to choose anywhere on earth, it ain't going to be Montville. Sorry, Montville. I'm just saying I'm going to some mansion somewhere with servants, right? I'm going to have like, I don't have any counts of thread you can get in some sheets, but I'm going to give me some threads. I'm going to give me something nice. I'm going to have servants delivering me. God decides to be born in a place where they house animals, to be placed in a feed trough for animals. And we could go into the Lamb of God and all the rest of that. But why? Why some poor woman? Your God is very much unlike your world. We need to deconstruct what our world is teaching, and we need to de-learn it. He's not impressed by celebrity. Doesn't care about cash or nice things. In fact, if you look in the scriptures, God usually chooses the least to do with the most. If you notice that, God chooses those who are not to do incredible things. King David starts off as the least of the brothers. In fact, the father doesn't even call him in from the fields. He's out watching the flocks. He's no one. That's who God chooses to take on Goliath. That's who God chooses to lead a nation. God chooses Moses. He's the least in Pharaoh's household. He doesn't even belong. He's a Jew. God chooses Joseph. He's the despised brother, right? The other brothers are trying to kill him. They wind up selling him into slavery. God chooses Rahab. She's a harlot. God chooses Mary. She's a poor young girl in Nazareth. God chooses the least to do the most because God is for ordinary people. He is. He's for you. He's for me. He's always been for ordinary people, always. God is for regular people, flawed people, messed up people, without ever sanctioning sins and disobedience in others. He's for the regular people. Here's where our culture goes and here's where we go off. Jesus was hanging out with sinners, absolutely. He never once said, hey, the sin's cool. I'm here, it doesn't matter, you're good. Never once. The point is, here I am, repent. Go and sin no more. The pretty people, by the way, and you need to know this, don't exist. They don't, because everybody poops. They do. Everybody poops. Everybody got a litter box. Everybody messes up. There ain't no pretty people. They all have their own stuff, and we all need Jesus. Jesus saves only those who know and who will admit their need. God is for the regular people like you and me. Always has been. He's not born middle class. He's born into lower class. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch at night over their flock. You just had a baby, and you're God. This is your son, and you're proud. This is my son. And you handed out cigars. Who do you go to? They're bubblegum cigars because God was Baptist. But he's handing out cigars. Who do you go to? He goes to shepherds. That's who he tells first. Shepherds were untrustworthy, unclean men of very lowly position. In fact, they couldn't even go to court and testify on their own. They had to have several of them together because they were considered unreliable. Why? Because they hung out with the flocks who were stinky and smelly, but then they also had to protect against animals, and some of those animals were unclean, and they were around the unclean animals. Shepherds were low class. That's who God goes to first to announce the birth of his son. An angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I prefer the King James. They were sore afraid. Help, we're sore, and we're afraid. They were terrified, and the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news, gospel, of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born to you who is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, tied in cloth, and lying in a manger. Why is that a sign? Because that ain't normal. You don't have babies and put them in mangers wrapped in swaddling clothes like in that way. Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. Not peace on earth, but peace on earth to people he favors peace in their hearts. He didn't come to bring peace on earth, not yet, but peace in our hearts. The world can go crazy, but you can still have peace in your heart if you know Jesus. In fact, the world will go crazy, is going crazy if you're paying any attention at all. You can still have peace if your hope is in him. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem. Let's see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off. They found both Mary and Joseph. They're asking, "Hey, anybody got like a really pregnant woman who's just had a baby in like a, that room you keep for the end?" "Yeah, we do." "Okay, let's go there." Found him. Mary has just had a baby. She don't even have the good drugs because they ain't been invented yet. She just had a baby. You think she feels up to entertaining? "Oh, yes, bring a bunch of smelly shepherds in here. That sounds great." She's not ready for visitors, but this is Jesus, and God is making baby announcements with shepherds, and so they come, and they get to see the baby and worship. Because God is more concerned with truth than who will believe. Let me say this again. God is more concerned with truth than with who will believe. You with me? God has never needed Kanye. God doesn't need Mel Gibson, Justin Bieber, Chris Pratt. Man, if they know Jesus, that's wonderful, that's great. He doesn't need them. God has never needed celebrity or position or power. Check it out. Shepherds are unreliable. The women who are going to talk about the resurrection, they'll be the first witnesses of the resurrection. They wouldn't be believed. They're just a bunch of women. They just getting their emotions going. They don't know. Yeah, Jesus chooses them to be the first witnesses of the resurrection. And what that means for you and I, hey, just speak truth. Do it in love. Let God sort it out. He's not worried about who believes and who doesn't. That's his part. God is more concerned with truth than who will believe, and he's definitely not concerned with celebrity. God is for ordinary people like you and like me. The shepherds returned, they're glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. So no one listens much to shepherds. They are unreliable. And I know this because no one comes after Jesus until the wise men come, when he's about 2-ish years old. I got to do this fairly quickly. I need to finish this thing off. After Jesus was born, now we're going back to Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, Persian priests, likely influenced by Daniel during his time in Persia. We don't know how many. It's not three kings of Orient are. We don't know how many, but we know they have three gifts. I don't have time to get into it, but Persian priests are also unclean Gentiles, shepherds, unclean, unreliable Jews, Persian priests, unclean Gentiles. God loves and chooses the outcasts. If you've ever been an outcast, you understand. You need to know you've got the heart of God. He runs after the outcasts. So God tells shepherds and he summons Gentiles. "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw a star at its rising and have come to worship him." King Herod heard this. He was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. He's deeply disturbed because these guys have come. They're following a star. They believe something's going on. They don't know what it is, but they know Messiah is supposed to come. And so they are deeply like, wow, something must be going on. So he assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, asked him where the Messiah would be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, because this is what was written by the prophet. Now, let me just quickly listen. Jerusalem, 5 miles. Literally 5 miles. That day, that age where everybody walks, that's nothing. Really, a couple hours. If you run, you can do 5 miles. Even at a 10-minute pace, you're doing less than an hour. Walking in that day, a couple hours, easily. 5 miles away. And so they quote, they're asked, "Where is he going to be born?" They know wise men have come, Persian priests. They know something's happening. And so they quote it. They know it. They got it by memory. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." And so the priest and the scribes and all these Jewish folks who are religious leaders see the Persian priests. They know the scriptures. You know what they don't do? Walk the friggin' 5 miles to check it out for themselves. They got the words. They got the position, but they don't have the works, because faith without works is, yeah. Knowledge don't save you, man. You quote a bunch of verses. Hey, good on you. God has never been impressed by that. Let it change your life. That's real. God is always for the least and the lost. Always. Without hating or forgetting the great and the most. And Jesus is going to die for everyone. In fact, let me just real quickly. I've got to do this quickly. We talked about Jesus eating with sinners and hanging out with sinners. That's true. But have you noticed Jesus also went to the houses of the Pharisees and the scribes? Our culture says you're supposed to hate those who have a lot and love those who don't have much and those who are sinful and messed up. And dude, we're all messed up. Jesus ran to both. He died for both. He loves all. And you, if you're going to call yourself a follower of Christ, do not get to hate, envy, or be jealous of those who have more than you. You don't get to do that. The same God who loves the outcast loves the guy in the mansion, and you don't know his heart. You don't know what he's struggling with. You don't know how generous he may be. We don't get to do that. And so Herod calls these guys, and he secretly says, hey, listen, here's the truth. Here's where he's going to be. When you find him, let me know. I want to worship him too. And that's where the announcer cuts in and says, Herod does not want to worship Jesus. Because he doesn't. He wants to end him because he's scared. I got to do this quickly. They went on their way, and there it was, a star they had seen at its rising. It led them to until it came and stopped above where the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. Grown men worshiping a toddler. He's about a year and a half old right about now. A toddler. But he's Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Unclean shepherds worship. Unclean Gentiles worship. The elite Jews know, and they don't come worship. Faith without works is dead. God is for ordinary people. He reveals himself to outcasts without ever despising or forgetting the elites and the already included. That's the line. He runs to outcasts. But he loves everyone. That's the line. I will run to the prodigal. But you know what? I still love my son who was faithful the whole time. That's who your God is. Don't let your culture tell you any different. God is for everyone. He loves people. Christ died for the sins of the world, right? Yeah. They opened their treasures. They presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm going to stop here. I'm going to do it myself. I ain't got time to go through it. And so that gold will be helpful because they're going to have to run. The Persian priest will be warned by the Lord to go a different way back and not tell Herod. They will. Herod will become enraged. He's going to go in and try to get rid of Christ. Kids are here. I won't tell you what happens. I'll tell you to read it, though. It's called The Slaughter of the Innocents. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus will leave and go to Egypt. And that is not a point you make for illegal immigration. It's not a political point one way or the other. Egypt is still part of the Roman Empire. It's not immigration. It's just them going where God tells them and fulfilling a scripture. It says, out of Egypt I called my son. That's all it is. God is for ordinary people. The Christmas story is this. Jesus comes to us because we can't come to God. And he dies on the cross for our sins in our place because he loves us. In fact, let me get there very quickly. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Hey, that's you. And that's me because of our sin. We are lost in relationship to our God, our Creator. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom, a payment for many. That's you and that's me. That's who our God is. Christmas, we're told, is about family, or it's about presents, or it's about the presence of being with family, or it's about, Christmas is about God coming to earth and dying on the cross for us. That's what Christmas is, and nothing else. And it changes everything, everything. I'm 20 years old, and I can't stop doing drugs. I mean, I literally can't stop. I'm trying over and over again, and I can't. And I'm stealing from places I work at. And I'm using people to get things or to get pleasure rather than loving people. And God changes my life. because of Christmas. And some of you have the same story, and some of you need the story. You need to know our Jesus. I'm not asking you to accept religion. Oh, God, no. I'm not asking you to accept a church. Please accept this church into your heart. No. I'm telling you, Jesus loves you, and he's calling to you. And if you will pray and you'll ask him to, he will grant you repentance and allow you to come into his kingdom. He's not in heaven wringing his hands saying, oh, goodness, I hope they come to know me. He's saying, here's the invitation. You got a choice. And that's where you're at today. If you don't know him, you need to. Let's take a moment. Let's pray.